every strength to play more, Father.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Savior, the child of Bethlehem, born to be our King. Amen. To begin with you in Isaiah chapter 60 today. If you want to listen to this, we are starting a sermon series on the Sunday sermons about Christ's Old Testament, the prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament, and how they're fulfilled by Jesus of Nazareth in every way. And as many of the prophecies in the Old Testament, you have an immediate fulfillment of it, but then the greater fulfillment in Christ. And that's what we see in Isaiah chapter 60. See if you can pick out for me then what might be fulfilled by Christ here. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried in their arms. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Jesus is the light of the world. He has arisen and shined upon us. Kings have come to the brightness of his rising. Not only the other kings, but the wise men from the east have come to the brightness of his rising. And among those gifts that they came to bring were gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, Isaiah 60 doesn't mention myrrh, but gold and frankincense are there among them. That's why these passages are put together today, because Christ has fulfilled them. But when the wise men came from the east, they came to offer what to the Lord? Gifts, right? This is what they wanted to give him, and what I'd like to talk with you about today is gifts. What kind of gifts, then, can we bring to the Lord? Will we be wise men or foolish? What kind of gifts can we bring to the Lord at this Christmas and throughout our lives? For there are really different kinds of gifts, aren't there? There are precious ones, valuable ones, great ones, and then ones that are not so valuable. Now, the other week when I was on vacation, I happened to pick up a book in our little library at home, one that I had from years ago, Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld, on some of his comedy. And he says, among the gifts, really the greatest, worst, most bogus gift is the paperweight. You know the one I'm talking about? That's the most bogus gift. It's a gift that just really says to the person who receives it, I didn't really put any thought into this at all. You know? He says, after all, when do you use a paperweight? I mean, who has an office with wind blowing across it? What do you have, your desk on the back of a flatbed truck? Are you at the top of a crow's nest on a clipper ship? Where is your desk that you need a paperweight to hold these papers down? This is a bogus gift. In that, you know, nobody has wind blowing across their desk. It's a gift that says, I didn't really put any thought into this at all. Well, as they say, a gift is worth its weight in gold. Well, this is a paperweight. It's lightweight gift. It's stupid. All right? What kinds of gifts ought we, though, to offer to the Lord? There are paperweight gifts that we can offer to him, and there are gifts that are worth their weight in gold. There are precious things. But what kinds of things might you offer to the Lord this day, every day, and this Christmas, as the wise men gave their gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ? What would be a fitting gift for him? Well, let's take a look at a few things in the Scriptures. Let's first start with Genesis chapter 4, the very first gift that was given to the Lord. It says, now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering from the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And you know, after that, he kills his brother. So what's the difference between these two gifts? Does God like sheep, and he doesn't really like vegetables? No veggie tray for the Lord? No. The difference here is described for us in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel offered his gift by faith. Abel offered his gift to the Lord, God bearing witness by accepting his gifts. It was by faith. He offered it. So, you know, there's a lot of things we could offer the Lord. I have this up here. We don't usually do this for a sermon, but I'll do this today. One thing we can offer to the Lord would be things, right? But what we see by Cain here, simply offering the thing by itself without faith, was of no use to the Lord, not at all a gift to him. So when people think that they can offer a gift to the Lord as if God needs anything, that's ridiculous. That's a paperweight gift, valueless, and actually incurs his anger. Well, let's take a look at something else. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 8. Here's something else that could be offered. Simon the magician, who was in one of the towns near Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit was being bestowed upon people there in the preaching of the gospel, it says, "Now when Simon, the magician, saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'Your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money.'" Here's another thing that people offer to the Lord: money. But you see here that God doesn't need your filthy lucre, right? He owns everything. All things belong to him. You can offer him your money, but he doesn't need it. And if you think you can buy his kindness by giving him a gift like this, you are, as Peter says, in the gall of iniquity, in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity, O Simon the magician. And so we can't offer him money. That would be a paperweight gift. That's not valuable at all if offered without faith. But let's turn our attention and be maybe a little more holy now. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. What about if we had a church building? Oh yeah, a real pretty one. You've been in some pretty church buildings in your life? Washington Cathedral, the beautiful cathedral at York or Oxford. Woo! Let's see here. "So it was until the days of David, who found favor in the sight of God and asked leave to find a habitation, a house for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made with hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hands make all these things?'" So how about a church? What do you think? What's your verdict? You want to build a nice church building and offer that to the Lord? Just simply build him a nice house? Is he going to be impressed? I love your stained glass, by the way, here. But whether or not it's decorated well or not, does that please the Lord? That's a paperweight gift again. Even building a church. But, oh, no. Okay, now we're going to get a little more serious. How about if we offer him a solemn worship where we do everything beautifully right, very liturgically perfect? Let's see what God says about things like that. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 and following. God says, "What to me is the multitude of all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of assemblies I cannot endure. Iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them." Why? Is God against liturgy? He's not against liturgy or fine service, but this was devoid of the Spirit. These are people that, of Jesus would say, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, some people think a church service has to be everything perfect, Oh, I got to turn just this way. This has all got to go very structured and rigid. And that's why a lot of unbelievers don't want to come to church, because it's just this solemn assembly. Is that what the Lord delights in? What do we call that one? Let's call that, how about a solemn worship? Can we offer that to him? What do you say? Oh, I don't hear any answers back there. Huh? With faith, yeah, but just a solemn assembly, just to get the job done, just to go through the motions, just to do things by rote, that is abhorrent to the Lord. Something he hates. Sorry. He doesn't mind the cell phone occasionally going off in church. Although he prefers it go on vibration. No, sorry. But a solemn assembly. We don't want to just... God can't stand when people get together to worship him without their hearts and simply just go through the motions. That's not an acceptable worship. But how many people are there out there in the world that think these things might please the Lord? I'll offer him some things, like the Pharisees thought they could buy God's favor. Money, a church building. Oh, isn't it beautiful? Look at these stones, O Jesus. He says, truly, not one of these will be left upon another of the temple in Jerusalem. And solemn worship and going through the motions. God hates those kinds of things. Those are paperweights. We don't want to give him gifts like that. And as your pastor, this is not the kind of church that I want, because it's not the kind of church that God wants. What kind of church does God want, though? What kinds of gifts can we give to him? Isaiah chapter 66. Listen to what it says here. Let's go to Micah chapter 6 first. Micah 6 says, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of the body for my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? This is Micah chapter 6. This is what God desires. Do kindness, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. In other words, what does God really desire from you? He desires you can do all these things, but what he desires is that you would have your heart into it. That's what God wants from you. You can't buy him or give him anything that he needs. He has everything. What are you going to buy for the God who has everything, right? Do you have that problem, you know, for people at Christmas? What do you buy for the man who owns everything? Well, what do you buy for the God or give to him who has all things? Everything's in his hand. He says, I've shown you what's good. And these are the things in which I delight. Doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with me by faith. And therefore, when we do that, what kinds of things can we do? We can offer to him things. When we, as it says in Isaiah chapter 66, I got lots of cards today, just forgive me here. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What's the house which you'll build for me? What's the place of my rest? All these things that my hand has made, and so all these things are mine, says the Lord. But this is the man to whom I will look, he that is humble and trite in spirit, and who trembles at my word. Do you tremble at his word today? This is what God desires. If you offer a thing, you offer it in faith, trembling at his word, loving his word, worshiping in him in reverence and awe. Also, how about with money? There was an old widow, who offered to the Lord two mites, two little pennies. And Jesus says, this one has put in more than all the others, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But this one, out of the extreme poverty, put in all the living that she had. What was she giving to the Lord right here? Her heart, everything that I have. It was praise, it was honor, it was worship. Give him money out of cheerfulness. For God loves a cheerful giver. So here's another thing this Christmas. You can offer to the Lord. You can give him a gift like this. Offering him money or things, trembling in his word, having a cheerful heart in him, that's going to delight the God who sits on the throne of heaven. You will actually please and tickle his sense of delight. How about with building a church building? Well, he likes this church building when it's used for his purposes, but what he doesn't need slabs of concrete or what do you call or wood over us. What he desires is people, a house of a family of his people and making disciples of them. So as it says in Hebrews 13, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So lips or a confession about him that brings people to build his house, to build his house. And then also, and I love this one, liturgical worship. I love it. I prefer traditional worship myself by far. But listen to this, and I think this is the way I want our church to be as your pastor. It says in 2 Samuel 6, verse 20, and David returned to bless his household after he was dancing in the streets, half naked, before all Israel, before the Lord. I love the Lord! I love the Lord! He gets home, and what happens? Michael, the daughter of Saul, his wife, that's David's wife, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel has honored himself today, uncovering himself before the eyes of his servants' maids, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. Oh, you're raising your hands in worship? You're dancing before the Lord? You're rejoicing with exuberant joy? Aren't we German Lutherans? Shouldn't we be very staid and quiet and not do anything? Listen, David said to Michael, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as a prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. And I will make merry before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor. And Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. So the Lord closed her womb. Look, people, God, what does he want from us? He doesn't want a staid, rigid liturgical worship. I love liturgy, but when we do it, we put exuberant joy. We got to be dancing before the Lord. This delights him. As it says in Jeremiah 9, it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. So are you going to rejoice before him today? Rejoice before him and give him these kinds of gifts. Give him your heart. Because you know what? And I conclude with this. God gave you his heart. He gave you his son Jesus. Nothing's more precious to him than his son Christ. And Jesus loved you and gave himself up as an offering to God, which was accepted by God in order to win the salvation of your souls. And therefore, Paul says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if God has given you this free gift, everything, and this is what he delights in, let's practice these things. Offer to him a rejoicing, a dancing, a pleasurable, exuberant, exceedingly great joy in our living relationship that we have with our God and Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.